Well, welcome. I call to order this meeting of the City Council of the City of Atascadero, and Councilmember Bourbeau will lead us in a pledge to the flag.
Please stand and join me if able and pledge.
Roll call, please.
Councilmember Bourbeau.
Here.
Councilmember Darris.
Here.
Councilmember Newsom.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk.
Here.
Mayor Moreno.
Here.
All present.
Thank you. Well, for those of you attending in person, welcome. We have a big crowd tonight. And those of you online, we welcome you too. We're going to move on to our consent calendar. All items on the consent calendar are considered to be routine and non-controversial by city staff and can be approved in one motion unless there's a member of the council wishing to pull an item for further discussion. So I will start by asking if there's any members of the public wishing to comment on the consent calendar. Any item, please come forward and let us know which item that is.
There we go.
There you go. Yes,
I'm respectfully requesting you pull number 7 from the consent calendar, the Newton Development Agreement. And in particular, in regards to the tribal cultural resource requirements under the mitigation monitoring, we did do a full cultural analysis of the site, and it found that no cultural monitoring was going to be needed. No tribe spoke up during the AB 52 comment period. And on the prior approved project on the same property, that included the same movement of the channel, it did not require cultural monitoring. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else wishing to comment on consent? Thank you. If you could come a little closer to the mic and state your name for the record and let us know which consent item you're calling on or talking on. A little closer to the mic. We're having a hard time hearing you. Is it on?
Oh.
Okay, that would be why.
Oh, there it is. Being on would help. Anyway, I was asked by several people in our group to come and at least address this. Dove Creek is an area where there was a hunting and marsh, and it has been disturbed many times. There was a burial ground discovered in the vicinity that was dated to post-contact period about 1800s. There have been projects done there without cultural monitoring where things have been found and scattered. So a negative phase one declaration means there's no surface evidence. We do believe there's a potential for cultural materials in the ground and had requested monitoring of this location in regards to the law of protection. And that's really what they asked me to come. I don't have firsthand knowledge of this. I've been told by several elders that there are sensitive materials in that general vicinity. And we don't see it as egregious to require someone to watch the dirt being disturbed for the first time in certain locations or even redisturbed because of past hat. So that's all I wanted to say. If anybody has any questions, I'm more than available to discuss. And we're like working in partnership with people and making sure things are done right.
Thank you, sir. Your name for the record?
Robert Piotti.
Thank you, Robert.
Resident here in Atascadero.
Thank you. Appreciate it, sir. Any other members of the public wishing to speak on a consent item? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment and bring that back to council. I'm going to look to our city manager and city attorney on item number A7. This seems to be new information, and so have we had any information from the applicant other than this evening indicating that he wants to pull and no longer go forward with this? Where are we?
Well, the status is prior to the first reading of the ordinance on the development agreement, the applicant's counsel sent a letter to staff objecting to the condition of imposing a monitor that is part of the environmental findings that are necessary to support the development agreement. I spoke with Ms. Neiswender about it, and I said this is not something that the city has imposed solely on this particular project. It's imposed this on other projects of similar nature. and just left it at that. Ms. Nicewinder was in attendance at the meeting remotely, but did not speak because she was not present. In the intervening time, staff has talked about it a little bit, and again, this is not something that is being brought just for this particular project. This is something that, based on the tribal consultation that came forth as part of the AB 52 process, staff believed that to support the mitigated negative declaration, this mitigation condition was necessary. Otherwise, staff was not able to make a finding of a mitigated negative declaration in support of the development agreement. So the council has the ability to remove this condition, but if the council does so, it might impact the finding of mitigated negative declaration. And I don't know if Phil has anything additional, Mr. Dunsmore has anything additional to add on that.
If we could briefly, let me get a motion to pass the others and we can kind of continue this. So may I get a motion, unless there's any further comment on items 1 through 6 and 8 through 10?
I'll so move.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Barbeau, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Funk. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Barbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. Okay, so to item number 7. Director Dunsmore, is there anything else that you wanted to bring into that conversation?
Not unless there are additional questions. Thank you. I do concur with our city attorney, and it's accurate that we do apply this very similar mitigation to multiple projects within the city when there is an environmental document. And typically the tribes do request these where there is evidence that there may be subsurface artifacts.
Okay, so what you're saying is this isn't being applied specifically to this applicant. It's done routinely, and as our city attorney said, if we were to remove that, we could risk that negative deck. Okay. Questions by my colleagues? No? I will look for a motion then.
I'll move approval of item A7.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Barbeau, a second by Councilmember Newsom. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Barbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes unanimously.
You couldn't make my last meeting an easy consent, so that was kind of nice. Thank you. It gave me a little something to do. All right. We're going to move on to council announcements and committee reports. If there are any council members who have, we serve on committees or anything we've been doing in the community that we want to report out on, I'll start on my right.
Nothing to report.
The Tascadero Groundwater Basin Sustainability Agency is having a routine meeting on December 18th, and council member, soon to be Mayor Barbeau, has graciously offered to attend in my absence because I also will be attending the executive committee of the Homeless Services Oversight Council at the same time. And the Design Review Committee is meeting this Thursday to review a project on Traffic Way.
The IWMA is not meeting this month, and we have achieved what I always want to achieve, which is stable, boring, and competent administration. And so no need for a meeting this month, so nothing to report there. We'll report on a personal note. This morning I participated in helping set up coats for kids, and that's occurring this weekend for residents in Tascadero and Paso Robles at the Mid-State Fairgrounds. So.
Okay, I'm also on the DRC meeting Thursday. Also Thursday is the Visit Slow Cal, so I got a busy day on Thursday, and then next week is Cap Slow board meeting, and other than that, I have nothing else to report.
All right, thank you. I had a Slow Cog last week, and we're getting ready for the regional transportation plan again. It's sort of a 20-year plus plan, but every 4 years you're updating it, so you're constantly doing the RTP. But part of that will be the new RENA, so I can't believe it's 2025 almost, and we're already talking about another regional housing needs assessment and allocation. But here we go. All right, with that, we are on to presentations this evening. So I would like to, we're going to first recognize our outgoing treasurer, Jerry Seebach. And Jerry, I know there he is. Jerry's on the end over there. I've got a proclamation, or commendation that I would like to read to Jerry. Whereas Jerry Seebach has dedicated the last 10 years to serving Atascadero as the city treasurer with integrity, diligence, and commitment. And whereas Jerry Seebach is a graduate of Atascadero High School and earned both his Bachelor's of Science and Master's degrees in Mathematics from Cal Poly, Jerry began his municipal career as Morro Bay's Finance Director and Treasurer from 1980 to 1983, before serving as Atascadero's City Treasurer from 1987 to 1990. Jerry was elected SLO County Auditor Controller, where he served from 1991 to 2012. In 2014, the City of Atascadero elected Mr. Seebach as Treasurer and is honored to celebrate a decade of service. And whereas Jerry Seebach took on the responsibility to manage the city's finances with precision, transparency, and foresight, Jerry has done more than guide city investments. He has helped shape the financial future of our community, ensuring that our city's financial health has remained strong. And whereas Jerry Seebach implemented a laddered schedule of maturities, ensuring that investments mature periodically throughout the year, and his approach provided funding for expenditures or reinvestment while maintaining a portfolio yield that closely tracked the market conditions. Jerry also recommended changes to the city's investment policy to include highly rated supranational and municipal bonds. These securities offer higher yields and enhance portfolio diversity, ultimately increasing safety and stability. And whereas Jerry Seebach supported the approval of two successful sales tax measures, which have already generated millions in new revenue for road maintenance and critical city services. Thanks to these initiatives and the prudent fiscal management of the City Council, Atascadero is now in its strongest financial position since its incorporation in 1979. And whereas Jerry Seebach always displayed an extraordinary level of professionalism and knowledge, whether it was reviewing the city's budget as a member of the Finance Committee or improving the diversification of city investments, his work has been vital to Atascadero's success. And whereas Jerry Seebach's dedication to the city has set a standard that will be acknowledged for years to come, and his legacy is one that will inspire future generations of public servants. Now, therefore, be it resolved that we, the City Council of the City of Atascadero, do hereby commend Jerry Seebach and his 10 years of dedicated service to the City of Atascadero, and wish him nothing but happiness, health, and success in whatever comes next. Thank you, Jerry. I've selected a couple of individuals who have worked with you more closely at the city that I would ask to say a few words. The first would be our Director of Administrative Services, Ms. Rangel.
Thank you very much, Mayor. It has been my honor to work with Mr. Seebach for the last 10 years, and I really appreciate all of the effort that he has given to our community. He is just an exceptional professional, very well educated, very smart individual. As you said, he recommended some new investment vehicles that have increased the city's yield while maintaining safety for our community. He really truly cares about our community, and overall he's just a wonderful person to work with. So thank you very much for all your years of service, Mr. Seebach.
Thank you, Director. And Councilmember Borbo worked with Jerry for 8 years on the Finance Committee.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. And I don't want to be repetitive, but Jerry is a true public servant. He was retired as the County Auditor and Controller, and members of the community asked him to step up and perform this role as City Treasurer. And he didn't have to do that. And he's done it for 10 years now, and we deeply appreciate that. Jerry, as mentioned, grew up here. He was childhood friends with former Mayor Tom O'Malley and the late Steve Martin, who was mayor of Paso Robles. So he's a rock solid servant of our community. We are fortunate to have someone of Jerry's caliber and experience and qualification, because as we'll address later this evening in another agenda item, the only legal requirement to be city treasurer is to be 18 and a registered voter in the city of Atascadero. And Jerry obviously beats that. And we've been extremely fortunate to have someone of his eminent qualifications serve in this role. And he did do some substantive changes in the office and has helped us reach our goal of financial stability and sustainability. So Jerry, it's been a pleasure for me certainly working with you on the Finance Committee in particular, and also other aspects of your role as City Treasurer. And so thank you very much for a job very well done.
And Jerry, we'd love to, if you'd like to say a few words, we'd love to hear from you.
It's always dangerous to give a politician an open mic.
Yes. But
thank you, members of the council, for the kind words. And thank you also for the support that you and your predecessors provided to me in trying to do that the role that I was asked to do. Also, the staff, Jerry Rangel, and all of the finance staff have been very gracious to me, very helpful. Anytime I asked for anything, they were right there. And all of the departments, if I had any contact with them, they were gracious and supportive. And I agree with your statement that the city is in the best financial condition. And I've been monitoring the city's financial position since the time it was incorporated, and it was very not good at the start. The property tax split was to the city's detriment. There was very little business producing sales taxes, but now the city, I really believe the city is in the strongest financial position now than it had ever been in, and I'm not wanting to take much credit for that at all. It belongs to all the council and all of the staff, but that's a fact, and it makes me feel good about being able to retire from this position. I think the city is in better shape now than when I started as treasurer, and I know it's in good hands as I fade into the sunset. I want to also thank my wife and my family who she didn't want me to run for anything again. She'd had been six elections already before and said that was plenty. And then she told one of her friends, you know, an old politician never dies, they just fade away. So I'm finally fading away, Diane. I promise this is it for me.
I think we'll call it sailing away. How's
okay.
That?
Okay. Well, and the city managers, I also want to mention former Mayor O'Malley, who asked me to take on the job of city treasurer. And it was also Mr. Lewis and Rochelle Ricard were very supportive as city managers. And it's important. They provide great leadership to the city. So I am proud, and I thank you for the kind words and the resolution. I will see if I can find a new frame or something for it.
I think you will have to find a new frame and somewhere to put this lovely. So we will all in a little bit go do pictures together. So
okay. Bear
with us. But thank you, Jerry. Your service is greatly appreciated.
All right, thank you. Well, I have the pleasure of saying a few words, reading a commendation about our outgoing mayor, Heather Moreno. Heather Moreno has been mayor from 2018 to 2024. Whereas Heather Moreno became an Atascadero City Council member in 2012, following service on our Planning Commission, Heather is the second ever elected mayor and first elected female mayor, having been elected to office in November 2018, re-elected in 2020 and 2022. And whereas Heather Moreno and her husband Mike moved to Atascadero in 2004 in search of a better quality of life, drawn in by the beautiful environment, spacious rural-like neighborhoods, and slower pace of living, Heather has since been a community leader on behalf of Atascadero. And whereas Heather Moreno earned her BA degree in accounting from CSU Fullerton, Heather was employed by KPMG, one of the big four international accounting firms, and until she decided to strike out on her own. And whereas, as a lifelong learner, Heather Moreno earned her master's degree in 2013 from Fuller Theological Seminary. And whereas, alongside her public service, Heather operates Weight Breakthroughs, a boutique firm specializing in wellness and personal transformation, and leads regular trainings to support women in achieving sustainable health. And whereas, as a CPA, and small business owner, Heather Moreno is keenly interested in financial stewardship and economic development. Heather's accomplishments on the council include enhancing public safety, implementing government efficiencies through a focus on essentialism, and driving significant economic development and infrastructure projects that benefit Atascadero's community. And whereas during Heather's tenure, the city achieved with ballot initiative D20 for a 1% sales tax increase, allowing the city to fully fund public safety, address infrastructure and equipment needs, and retain quality employees. And additionally, the renewal of F14 through Measure L24 this last month was approved by voters with an almost 71% approval rate, allowing the continuation of the good work and roadway rehabilitation and repair that has been accomplished throughout the last 10 years. And whereas in 2025, Heather will transition her service to the business and residents of Atascadero to the County of San Luis Obispo as the elected District 5 supervisor, where she will continue to ensure our community meets the needs, our county meets the needs of its residents and operates efficiently and effectively. Now, therefore, be it resolved that we, the City Council of the City of Atascadero, do hereby commend Heather Moreno on her 12 years of dedicated service to the City of Atascadero. I think it's actually 14 or more. It's the Planning Commission time, yes. And wish her all the best as she embarks on her new journey as District 5 supervisor. Signed, Almost Mayor Charles Borbeau. I'm going to pass this to you. We'll save this for down below. And I did want to add, I won't repeat the things that were in there that I thought of as notes, but I do want to add, Heather has been a great mayor and a great role model for me to follow. She's always gracious. She's very effective at running meetings, even if she has to tell me to move it on sometimes and give a little hint here and there. She is highly thought of around the county, because I occasionally have substituted for her in meetings with other committees and agencies. She's very highly thought of. She'll be very highly thought of at the county. I know the staff will miss you, as we will on the council. And I will keep in mind your parting advice, don't eat on camera. So with that, though, I want to open up in this opportunity, though, to see if my colleagues wanted to say anything. I think... I'll start with Councilmember Newsom.
I'm going to try to keep it brief. I know it's hard, Charles, I know. From one Heather to another, I have many thoughts and have shed many tears. You have been an amazing leader. You have made a tremendous impact in your community and on us personally. This is not goodbye, but see you soon. You will always be our super mayor.
Did you want to go from...
So I want to thank Heather for her service. 12 years is a long time to be serving in elective office, and we all know that these positions are a lot of work. And I want to express, as you move on to the county supervisor role, I want to express my personal appreciation that in our work here on the council, we were able to leave that side, the race in which both of us were engaged, to not have that be an impediment to the work that we were doing together on this council to serve the people of this community. I think in a time of deep political division, this sets a really important example, and it takes both of us to make that happen. So I want to express my appreciation for that.
Thank you. Councilmember Darris.
All right, thank you. What can't be said enough is thank you for your service to this city. You've done a great job as mayor. You certainly have set the bar high on a number of ways. It's been a real honor to work alongside you on the council, get to know you personally, and you've been a mentor for me. You've been very encouraging, and like I said, I've learned a lot from you, and I think that you're moving on to supervisor position is not meaning that you're leaving us, because you're going to be still helpful to us as well as the entire county. I certainly appreciate all the work that you've done here and getting in your help with me on all this. And good luck to you, and thank you so much for everything.
Okay, I believe we're going to step down and administer the oath of office.
May I say a few
things? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
I'm already trying to move the meeting
Sorry,
along.
Sorry, trying to move. You know, hey, I do appreciate that. Anybody notice I'm wearing the same dress and I have the same hair as in my picture?
Yeah. Heather, if you didn't notice.
And the same necklace, everything is the same.
And Jerry's wearing the same tie that was in the picture.
And Jerry. That was purposeful. I remember when I first came onto the council how frustrated I was because things moved so slowly. Looking back, though, it was the slow and often significant steps that have snowballed and created and achieved the success that we have today, and I never would have imagined that. And so to our staff, it does not happen without you. You are the ones that you bring an incredible degree of competence and caring for our community. And beyond that, you are very committed. And I don't just mean committed to the city or committed to the work. I mean committed to each other as colleagues, as a team, really as a city family. And that makes so much of a difference. And when we were, many of us, back at Emergency Management Institute about 8 years ago, and I remember several members of the FEMA, you know, employees, and even other employees throughout the county who had joined in on that trip, there were about 70 of us total, said to me personally, they commented on the uncommon cooperation and collegiality among our staff. And so that was what really highlighted for me what a special place we have and how incredible each of you are, not just individually, but most especially collectively. And I thank you for your dedication, your teamwork, your professionalism. You are the ones that have accomplished everything that we have done, so thank you. And you all know that in order to do your job, you need a strong, steady council that will lead the way. And we've seen throughout the state, throughout the nation, where that doesn't happen, and it's incredibly unfortunate. And so I want to thank every single one of you, every single one of you, all four of you, because you have been part of that. You've brought your dedication, your passion, your leadership, your ideas, your commitment. You've brought it all. And we all come together and we wrestle through things and we work it out. And once we become unified, we set those priorities and we focus on the essentials. We give it to staff and they run with it. And look what they've done. And that couldn't have been done without your leadership. So thank you. I appreciate it. And to you and the community, we also don't do this without you. Your input, your thousands of volunteer hours, your sponsorship of events, your support of our collective vision. And when I say collective vision, I mean all of us together, not the five of us, but our collective vision. Means everything, and you have shown what it looks like to be an engaged, caring community to get things done, and you continue to work to shape the future of Atascadero. So bottom line, this has been teamwork. It is staff, it is council, it is community, and we have created something really meaningful here in Atascadero. It's pretty darn cool. I'm gonna say that it is the honor of my life to have been your mayor. Don't make me do it, Nick. And I thank you for your trust. I thank you for your participation. And I thank you for believing in what Atascadero could achieve, because you know, not everybody did. And so as I leave this role, I know that the city is in excellent hands. And Councilmember-elect Peek, you are inheriting a phenomenal team, and I think you'll fit in great. So thank you for allowing me to be on this journey. I know that I will see and work with many of you in my role as county supervisor, and I cannot wait to see what comes next in Atascadero. And so as Ethel Mertz once said to Lucy Ricardo, this isn't goodbye, it's just toodaloo. Grace and joy, my friends.
I think we're going to step down now. We'll present these to Jerry Seebach and Mayor Moreno, and then after that, we will swear in our newly elected council members. So we're going to step down to the well, and anybody would like to take a picture of Mayor Moreno and Treasurer Seebach's awards, and their, that would be great. Thank you.
get a picture?
Moving stuff. I move over here. We don't have to. Before anybody runs off, we have one item of business to take care of, then we're going to take a break to commiserate with all of you who came out to join us on this evening, and we thank you for doing so. Okay. The next item of business is the City Council reorganization, and that involves the council appointment of Mayor Pro Tem. And so I am going to, I don't know if we need public comment on this, but I'm going to accept nominations from council members to appoint a Mayor Pro Tem for the two-year term ending December 2026.
Really quick, Mayor Robo, can I please do your roll call now that we've
yes.
reorged and
Got it.
I have you up there? Thank
Got
you.
It. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Councilmember Darris?
Here.
Councilmember Peak?
Here.
Councilmember Newsom?
Here.
Councilmember Funk?
Here.
Mayor Brabeau?
Here.
All present.
All right. Thank you. So I'm open to receiving motions for appointment of Mayor Pro Tem. Current Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Thank you, Mayor Brabeau. As the outgoing Mayor Pro Tem, in keeping with our tradition of sharing this responsibility and rotating it around the council, it would be my great honor to nominate Councilmember Mark Darris to be our next Mayor Pro Tem.
Okay. And I'll second.
Okay, Councilmember Darris, we're willing to accept this role.
I do accept, thank you.
Okay, thank you. So I assume we have no other nominations. Do we have any public comment regarding this nomination? All right, yes, thank you. All right, with that, let's do a roll call, please.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Councilmember Peak?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
And Mayor Borbo?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Very good. Good way to start our new 2-year period. Let's see. I thought we were going to go straight into our recess, but it looks like we have... Do I have the old copy?
Is here, so
yeah.
We flip-flopped. We jumped in.
Okay, at this time, we are going to take a 15-minute recess so we can mingle with all the audience that came out to see us on this evening. And we thank you very much for doing so. Congratulations to new council member Peak. And again, congratulations to supervisor-elect Heather Moreno. You'd think I'd know that after all these years. But in any case, we're going to take a short recess, and we will reconvene at 6:55, thereabouts. Thanks. Let's see. Yes. Yeah, we don't want you to... Okay. Let's see, where's the on button on this thing here? We're going to go ahead and call the meeting back to order. That was nice, and thank you again to everybody for coming out and observing this special day for us. We're going to move on. The next item is updates from the city manager.
Thank you, Mayor Bourbeau. Welcome and congratulations, and to council members and to Councilmember Peake. How's that sound, huh? Pretty good. So I do have a few items for you to update. We've had some great events recently, and first I want to share about Light Up the Downtown. What a magical night. Even, I think my wife said it best, that we had created a Hallmark movie. So to Terry and her team in Public Works, what a tremendous event. As we saw, the Sutton Gardens just looks amazing. And the Sippin' Shop brought over 650 tickets in. And so not only could people see Santa and enjoy just traditional rides on the carriage, but they could also shop, and stores were packed. It was so fun. And our lights will stay lit through January 19th, so we really hope people enjoy them. They're beautiful. We thank our sponsors. 3CE is our main sponsor at the top level, and I think as they're turning our power on in January, they wanted to turn the power on in the Sutton Garden, so we're grateful for them. Walk Around the Lake also had over 1,500 visitors. Another great evening. It wasn't even too cold, and we didn't have rain, so great weather. We enjoy our holiday events. On the El Camino project construction update, so we'll notice quite a difference and how things look. And so now work has moved to the median, and the K-rails are on El Camino Real between 41 and Traffic Way. We have heard that people wonder if that's as narrow as it will be when it's done, and that is no. The K-rails have a broader base, and so between the two K-rails at 2 feet apiece, that's about 4 feet. So it will not be that tight in the final project, but it's good to get drivers to slow down. And so work will continue in the middle, milling pavement, striping the road, installing the pavers that will help form the Romulus and the places to park, the curbs, planters, and electrical work. There will be narrow travel lanes and traffic delays for a couple months as we work through it. But access to businesses and driveways will all remain open, and we've tried to preserve as much parking as we can on El Camino between 41 and Traffic Way. But do be mindful of pedestrians during construction, please. You can always go to atascadero.org/ECR project, and we have some slides up there you can see too. Winter Wonderland is coming, so we didn't have enough fun last weekend. We just thought we'd keep the party going. Winter Wonderland is one of the largest events in the Central Coast, and it'll be December 13th from 5 to 9. We'll have over 70 tons of snow this year, with the largest snow slide on the Central Coast, built by, I probably shouldn't mention it now that two of my bosses are in the Rotary Club, but the Kiwanis Club also helps with that. This year's snow-themed event includes bungee jumps, obstacle courses, community entertainment, the train, Santa and his elves, and so much more. So it'll be a great evening Friday. If that's not enough fun, now through December 22nd, we are supporting and sponsors of Christmas at the Santa Margarita Ranch. And so this is a newer venture. Vintage Traditions Foundation and AGM Community Partners are inviting us to come aboard to ride the Pacific Coast Railroad's Jingle Bell Express. I can hear it from my house in the evenings. Santa's Village is there. You can see Santa. There's treats. And just old school kind of ranch fun Christmas. And so Visit Atascadero is the official lodging partner for this. We want to continue to support this event. So now through December 22nd, you do need to buy your tickets ahead of time. And then we want to celebrate our animals. So we will be giving them gifts on December 21st, Holiday Magic, at the Charles Paddock Zoo. And that is 10 to 1. And our zookeepers will be working with Santa's elves to deliver gifts to our animals. We'll have a magician, live music, and another opportunity to visit Santa. We are Santa's favorite city next to the North Pole. So we have a lot of Santa this year. We're thankful to have him. It'll be great. And while you're there, shop for gifts. We have a great gift shop. It's stacked full of stuff, a lot of animal-themed gifts. And the zoo membership is also a great stocking stuffer. The zoo is looking terrific. I'm really thrilled that we have our visit next week from the Accreditation Board of the Association of Zoos and Aquariums. We'll be the staff this week continues to do final things to make sure our zoo is in the best position it could be. It looks fabulous, and I thank the zoo staff and the entire staff for the work they've been doing at the zoo, the volunteers in our community. Many of the service clubs have really stepped up. So if you haven't been to the zoo in a while, please come visit it, support it. And you can do that with a $50 individual pass or a $100 family pass. They're great gifts. And that family pass gets 2 adults and 4 dependent children. So just a terrific gift. So that's available. The zoo will be open 10 to 4 throughout the holidays. My final two slides, we have the Community Center Blood Drive, December 30th at Atascadero Colony Park. You can register through Vitalant to donate blood or come to the Blood Mobile there. There's also a QR code if you want to register. So I do have one last item. The League of California Cities has set the 2025 priorities. I was involved in that last week as a board member. Fresh off the press, the advocacy priorities for Cal Cities next year will be one, protecting local revenues and expanding economic development tools. Two, strengthening climate change resiliency and disaster preparedness. Three, strengthen and modernizing critical infrastructure. We added this year bridges, broadband, and the energy grid to that goal, a focus on that. And four, securing investments to prevent and reduce homelessness and increasing the supply of affordable housing with a specific focus on expanding consistent funding for wraparound services and also giving local decision to communities to make our housing goals. And so some additions I thought you'd be interested. Thank you, Mayor and Council.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis. Does any member of the council have questions regarding the city manager's report? Okay, then we will move on to community forum. Community forum is reserved for persons wanting to address the city council on any matter not on the agenda, but over which the council has jurisdiction. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes. Please state your name for the record before making your comments. The city council is not able under the Brown Act to discuss anything raised in community forum beyond superficial questions. And so the council at its discretion may ask staff to answer a question or comment. All right, thank you. We have our first speaker.
Good evening. I'm Susan Warren. I'm with North County
Connection. Make sure the mic is on. And clerk, do we have the clock up?
Oh, it was on. Okay, thank you. I'm Susan Warren. I'm with North County Connection, which is a local nonprofit recovery resource center. We've been here for approximately 30 years. We're one of the best kept secrets in the community, and that some of that's by design. But this week, we took a look at this, the community development needs assessment that was just done by the county. And as I was looking through this, the first 36 pages are about the questions they ask and all of that. Then there's another 96 pages in here of comments where people, that was the last question, you have comments on improvements over the next 5 years. And there were a lot of things in here that really address the community education that we've wanted to reach out and do. And because of a grant we got this year, we've been able to hire two part-time recovery navigators and their certified peer support persons. They're doing a lot of community outreach already on their own in the community, but we're kind of giving them a hub to work from. And Wendy's going to come up in a little bit and tell you some of the special things we're trying to do to help address some of the opioid issues with Narcan training and looking at offering more community education support. And she's going to talk about those two programs. In the meantime, we run approximately 17 different meetings. They meet once a week. And their group support meetings, peer support, they're all different kinds of meetings. We have the only two Naranon meetings, which are for the family and friends of people with addiction problems between Santa Barbara and Salinas. And we have the ability to do a hybrid meeting. So we have people there, but we can also have people online attending these meetings. We're going to be adding a Families Anonymous meeting, which is just kind of families in general that are having a problem with a family member or loved one that's got a mental health issue or whatever kind of issue. But that peer support and knowing you're not alone with these problems is really important to help stabilize the families, which then helps stabilize the person that's having those issues. We're open 7 days a week. There's people there every day. We serve approximately each month, coming to those different 18 meetings each week. It's about 1,100 people that are there. And we're helping prevent relapse. We're bringing in newcomers and trying to support not just the individual with the addiction issues, but also the family members. And let's see. We have a library, an extensive library, of on all kinds of recovery topics. So what we're trying to do is be the boots on the ground that we can add something when we see there's an issue. And that's what we're trying to do.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Next speaker.
Hi, my name is Wendy Blacker. I'm actually here on behalf of North County Connection. I am one of the peer support specialists there. I want to make it public notice that I am a certified Narcan trainer and provider. It's something that I think everyone in the world should carry with them and should be trained in using. I can't count how many times I've been out with a Tascadero CAT team and have seen someone overdosed on the side of the road or in the tent or at Tent City. So it's something that I think all of us need to learn about. I'm passionate about this because when I go into a pharmacy and I see them charge $50 for a box of Narcan, that hurts my heart. I think it should be free to the world, and I'm here to provide that, and I'm here to train. So if anyone wants, they can come down to the North County Connection, get as much Narcan as you want. I have about 3,000 doses of Narcan at my disposal, and also fentanyl test strips. And also, I am going to bring to the North County Connection Smart Recovery. So the fellowship is great, but that is social. It's a social support. I want to bring the science behind addiction to North County Connection. I want to bring, it is cognitive behavioral therapy. That's what helped me get clean. I bring 25 years worth of addiction and homelessness to the table. Now I actually run my own nonprofit. I have a house, I have a great job, I have people that believe in me. I'm on HSOC with Susan Funk, and it's just, I want the world to know everyone can change. I want everyone to not think that people like who were like me are hopeless, because I'm here as a living testament. So, thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Hello, my name is Babette Deku, and I live at 6705 Santa Lucia Avenue, and I'm here tonight to talk about the importance of the conditional use permit process. I know it works because it significantly impacted our lives for the better. When ECHO first started the homeless shelter, it operated through the Baptist Church. We approached the city manager and the police chief regarding issues and concerns we had despite the many efforts of ECHO volunteers, and we were told the city had no jurisdiction over faith-based operations. When the church was donating the building to ECHO, it was actually city staff that contacted us to let us know about the conditional use permit process, and that now was our opportunity to provide input and make requests. These requests became requirements within the conditional use permit. The main requirement was a permanent wall between ECHO and our property, and this dramatically changed our relationship to ECHO and virtually eliminated the theft, trespassing, and vandalism of our property by ECHO clients staying on the premises. The addition of permanent staff and the yearly meeting with neighbors was also a positive feature of the conditional use permit. This is why we actually supported the addition of the new facility at ECHO at the last meeting. It is also why we became vocal about the new amendment to the CUP and the increase in the feeding program. Our concern is about the concentration of unhoused people within our small neighborhood as a result of this program, and our belief that this is a city issue, not just an ECHO issue. There was a misperception that the increase to the meal program was required because of the new building. However, at the planning committee meeting, ECHO staff made clear that they could fill the new building with people on the waiting list, people already receiving meals. So when we met individually with ECHO staff before the council meeting, I specifically asked why they needed to increase the number of meals served if they were serving people on the waiting list already. And they told us that city staff asked them to look 5 years in advance because of the complexity of the conditional use permit. I have faith that Jim Lewis will convene a meeting with the neighbors, city staff, and ECHO staff and identify issues and potential solutions, but I contend that was what the CUP process was for. In approving the CUP, the only leverage we have is eliminated. Charles actually asked the question, does the council need to approve this part of the CUP? And I contend that was the right question to ask. I understand the complexities, but I'm saying to be careful and not approve CUPs unless all parties are notified and meetings take place and concerns are identified and addressed. The conditional use permit process is often the only leverage that citizens have, And I can attest that it can positively impact lives.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Good evening, Jay Deku, 6705 San Lucia. I'm here to talk about also the public CUP process that we neighbors felt blindsided by this last echo move. It's clear when we found out about 2 weeks before this all came down, they'd been working on it a long time. They had a full set of plans drawn, so they and staff had been interacting on this for some time. And in 2013, when we made that last agreement, they were supposed to be notifying the neighbors and bringing us in on the process. Well, it ended up, I thought we had a 500-foot radius. It ended up they notified people within 300 feet. Well, my property's 297 feet deep. And so then you put the 50-foot street on there. St. William's Church doesn't get notified. They were one of the highly impacted properties in the neighborhood through this whole process. So it seems to me that we need to bring on something that's this wide of an issue for the city more notice. All the families that live on the creek are all impacted. But when I contacted them, only one of them, John Sanders, who requests to get notified, he's the only one of all of them that I asked had been notified, and none of them knew it was happening. So it just seems to me we need to somehow get more notice out on these things that are of a bigger impact to the community. Thank you much.
Okay, thank you for your comments. Next speaker.
Hi, good evening. My name is Maggie Payne. I'm the new Special Projects Coordinator at First Five Slo County, and I am here representing the Early Care and Education Planning Council's Advocacy Committee. We are a group committed to building and furthering the important work of the We Are the Care initiative. For those of you who are unfamiliar with We Are the Care, this multi-sector coalition was founded in 2019 and mobilized individuals and agencies to pursue collective ways to address the child care crisis. I have some exciting updates for you regarding child care here on the Central Coast, because it's been a while since I've been here. And I'm here to reinvigorate your support for this movement. So since We Are the Care last gave comment, much progress has been made to lift up childcare in our county. $3 million in county ARPA funds allocated to childcare have been dispersed to local providers and are continuing to be dispersed. This has allowed the field a bit of relief from the extra strain of COVID in the form of competitive and non-competitive grants. Childcare providers are small businesses like many others, but they faced an extra unique set of challenges during the pandemic. Another significant accomplishment is the continuation of the collaborative childcare study. It's among the four of our county's biggest public agencies, Cal Poly, the City of SLO, the County of SLO, and San Luis Coastal. The study's goal is to examine and implement viable options towards a vision that all residents and public employees in our communities have access to quality and affordable childcare. These entities are actually estimated to represent about 10% of our county's entire workforce. So their focus on childcare has actually been a really immense support and example to others among the community. Additionally, this one I'm really excited about, in our local community and beyond, childcare is increasingly being recognized as a foundational component of economic vitality. Uplift Central Coast is a coalition dedicated to the economic resilience of the six-county Central Coast region from Santa Cruz to Ventura, and they recently released a regional plan based on data and community feedback and involvement. Throughout the plan, Uplift called out childcare as a main economic mobility strategy. So a notice of funding opportunity has been released as a companion to this report, and 17 different agencies from all of the six counties have requested funding for a project involving childcare. Six of those 17 requests are from SLO County and one is from First Five. So those are just some of the examples that show the continuing work that's been being done for childcare in the background in San Luis Obispo County. We are dedicated to continuing to further that work and that of others. So finally, we want to let you know that the Early Care and Education Planning Council will be hosting a council retreat from 9 to 3 on Friday, January 31st. In the spirit of We Are the Care, the retreat will focus on collective impact, and as our civic leaders, you are critical to this work. So mark your calendars. The retreat will be held on Friday, January 31st, and a formal invitation will follow. The Advocacy Committee will be back in the new year with more updates, and we look forward to your continued support in 2025. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments and great timing. Okay, I don't see anybody else wishing to speak at Community Forum. We will close Community Forum. Thank you for your comments regarding the CUP process, regarding ECHO in particular. And indeed, Mr. Lewis will be convening a meeting as called for in a separate direction that we provided at our last regularly scheduled meeting. And we will ensure that proper notification, or not proper, but wider notification is given. Also want to thank Sue Warren. It's always good to hear occasionally what Connections is up to, and North County Connections, and thank you for what you do for our community. Okay, Council have any other comments? Okay, then we will move on to our next item is public hearings. Item C1, the Atascadero Tourism Business Improvement District Assessment. Do we have any ex parte communications? Any council members? None? I have none. Okay, this is going to be presented, I assume, by Ms. Terry Banish.
Yes, good evening. Thank you, Mayor Borbo and Council. So this is the agenda item for this evening for the public hearing required to make the increase in the Atascadero Tourism Business Improvement District Lodging Assessment. This meeting is the protest meeting to receive all written and verbal protest votes from the lodging owners. To give a quick recap of where we are today, the proposed assessment increase, the Atascadero Tourism Business Improvement District Advisory Board, or the ATBID, had identified that an increase in the assessment from 2% to 2.5% is what would make the difference to increase lodging stays by focusing on the infrastructure at our local zoo and the adjacent areas of our lake park to invest in and to drive our events, tourism, and lodging stays in the city. The increase in the assessment for the lodging owner would begin early January 2025. The lodging owner assessment is an assessment that each lodging business collects and remits to the city that is based on the rent charged by the business per occupied room or space per night for lodging guests or transient occupancies. The ATBID assessment is equal to 2.5%, which is an additional amount of 0.5% over the current rate of 2%. Following the City Council meeting on October 8th, the resolution was adopted, and on October 9th, a letter was mailed and an email was sent to the lodging owners, notifying them of the increase along with the public notice requirements. The assessment increase will be at the direction of the ATBID Advisory Board, and it will be tracked by myself, the destination manager, make sure that that assessment is used properly, and in addition, projects and opportunities will be brought to the ATBID Advisory Board for city staff as opportunities present themselves. In summary, we are acting on behalf of the ATBID Advisory Board to present the 0.5% increase and move forward with put in place an increase in the assessment to help fund these physical improvements. So for this evening, hang on 1 second. The recommendation before you is to conduct the public hearing to receive all written and verbal protest votes from lodging owners for a non-majority, less than 50% protest, council to conduct the second reading of the draft ATBID assessment increase ordinance, amending Title 3, and then Chapter 16, Section 3-16.04, and changing the assessment rate under the Streets and Highways Code Section 36541A for lodging businesses within the ATBID from 2% to 2.5%. which will begin early January 2025, or if there is a majority protest of over 50% to not conduct the second reading of draft ATBID assessment increase ordinance and the ATBID assessment stays at 2%. That concludes my report.
All right, thank you. Do any members of the council have questions of staff on this item? Okay, I will now open this issue to public comment. Are there any members of the public wishing to speak on this item?
Hello, my name is Angela Cisneros, and I'm the incoming president for the Friends of the Charles Paddock Zoo, so obviously we would love this. the zoo is definitely a part of the tourism draw for Atascadero, and we all know the city doesn't have the capacity to fund it like it needs to be, which is where the Friends comes into play. In the last year and a half, we have restructured, we have grown our board, and we're working very closely with the city and the zoo director and Terry to really align everything we do, the actions, our strategy, so that we have the greatest impact. This money would really help the animals of our zoo in various capacities, and we feel very grateful and honored to be considered. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Good evening, Mayor Borbo and council members. My name is Josh Cross. I'm wearing two hats this evening, first as a board member of the Friends of the Charles Paddock Zoo and also as the CEO of the Atascadero Chamber of Commerce. As my previous board member, Angela, mentioned, the board has a lot of new energy and momentum that we haven't seen in a long time, which has just been infectious. And a lot of it has been due to our amazing new director and the work that Terry Banish is doing. And so we are re-energized and we are motivated to do whatever we can to build these new exhibits and to build these conservation programs for the zoo. In the last year, we've made financial contributions to not so visible items like freezers and x-ray machines, anesthesia machines, and just some other things to prepare for the accreditation. There hasn't been this flashy new exhibit yet, but we're getting there. We're gonna get there because we have big plans for these new exhibits and beautification. And the funds that we're talking about here today will go a long way in helping with these new projects, and as well as helping with our long-term goal of being financially independent of city funding. So that is a long-term goal. We're hoping to get there. On the chamber side, I'm also in support of this proposed assessment increase, as well as my board of directors. For I don't know how many years, our board of directors has made a donation from the proceeds of our wine festival to the zoo to the tune of $10,000. This year, our board felt like, you know what, we really need to do more. So at the 2025 wine festival, the chamber will be making an additional $5,000 donation for a total of $15,000, because we believe in this zoo as being a driver of economic development, of community, a place for that builds our community and enriches lives. So I hope that you will consider approving the proposed assessment increase this evening. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any other people wishing to speak for public comment? Okay. If not, I certainly did not hear any protests. I'll ask the city clerk, did we receive any, and have you had time to tabulate the results?
We received no protests. So okay. Yes, I have.
So we've had time. Very good. Are there any council comments? Okay. Okay, then do we have a motion to approve the recommendation? Move based on no majority protest, right?
Yes, yes. Based on no majority protest, we move the recommendations 1 and 2. We're conducting the hearing and we have recommended.
Got it. Okay, thank you. We have a motion by Councilmember Funk, second by Councilmember Newsom. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Councilmember Peek?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Daris?
Yes.
And Mayor Borbo?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
All right. Yeah. Hesitation there. We're all going to be a little. All right. Next, we're going to move on to management reports. Item D1, consideration of action to fill the vacant treasurer position arising from former treasurer Jerry Seabach's resignation. This item will be presented by the city manager, Mr. Lewis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. Yes, I'm pleased to share with you action regarding the vacant treasurer position. As you know, our city treasurer did submit his resignation and served very well, and we were grateful to be able to honor him this evening. So under state law, we do need to have a city treasurer. It is a state office required by cities to have the city treasurer. And so, as you know, our city treasurer currently is elected and serves a 4-year term. And so with the resignation, within 60 days of the vacancy, the government code requires the council to fill the vacancy by appointment of an eligible individual or through a special election to fill the vacancy. And so, therefore, we have until February 8th to appoint a successor or to call a special election. If you do appoint the city treasurer, the term would move through the remainder of Treasurer Seabach's term through November 26, at which point the individual would have to run for office for city treasurer. And so I do want to share that in the choices you have here, I was disappointed to learn in contacting the county clerk recorder, Alana Cano, who also serves as our elections official, that she was very quick to share with us that she would not support us having a special election. Her office, which it was surprising to me because there were big changes and other issues she was dealing with. And so we would need to go to a third party private election, which could likely cost upwards to $500,000. And so a special election would be very expensive and time consuming for the city. And so I would certainly suggest you consider an appointment to this position. And you may do so tonight if you wish. An appointment is by majority of the city council. In absence of the city treasurer, I would submit that potentially we are not able to make investments or sell or purchase securities. That is a power of the city treasurer, and the deputy director, Ringel, has been able to do that under guidance of the city treasurer, but not having a city treasurer, and you can, if you're curious about that, you can hear more from that, I believe would perhaps pause investments. So we should be looking to appoint a city treasurer sooner than later. And so it is my recommendation that you consider appointing or having a special election, though a special election would be very, very expensive, and I am frustrated that the county cannot support us in that effort. So I'll conclude my presentation. I'm happy to answer questions about the office or specifics of what the office does, and any other questions you may have. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis. Does any member of the council have questions for the city manager? Go ahead, Councilmember Funk.
Yeah, just to follow up a little bit. Clearly that we're in a situation where we're looking at, are we appointing now or appointing, after sometime between now and February? Are there risks to the city financially or transactions we can't do if the treasurer's position is unfilled at any given point? Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, Director Ringel, would you like to share some of the thoughts we've had as we looked into state and local law and the thoughts we had today?
Yes, thank you so much. Certainly, as City Manager Lewis indicated, the city treasurer is an appointment that is required by state law to have. It's both in the state code, the city code, and certain authorities are given to the treasurer, and the treasurer does have the ability to delegate some of those. But for instance, he had former treasurer Seabach had delegated some of those activities to me as finance director, which now without that treasurer in the position, that delegation goes away. So my concern would be that we would not have the ability to do, as Mr. Lewis said, with selling and purchasing more investments, which could have the impact of losing out on interest for the city that we could be obtaining if we had a treasurer in that position.
One other question. This is probably this is for Ms. Rangel or Ms. Christensen, but when the council considered the putting measure M24 on the ballot to make the treasurer an appointed position on a permanent basis, we discussed that our intent was, if given that authority, to appoint Ms. Rangel. So I just wanted to confirm if Ms. Rangel also meets the requirements of being at least 18 years old and a resident of the city of Atascadero, which would be required for the elected position.
She does. She is an elector of the city and a resident. So she does meet the qualifications based on state regulation.
She is also a certified municipal treasurer, but she may not share that with you because she's very humble.
Yes, yes. And unfortunately, the state does not allow us to require that kind of skill. So we had to go back to a little more minimal. Thank you.
Okay, any other questions from council members? I had one. Mr. Lewis, you can confirm, can you confirm that we and Paso Robles are the only two cities in this county that have an elected treasurer?
That is correct, and the elected treasurer in Paso Robles is the Director of Administrative Services.
Correct, and all of the other five appointed treasurers are all their respective full-time finance directors.
That is correct, Mayor.
Correct, so that is the norm throughout the state where you have appointed treasurers.
That is correct, and I think the office has just gotten more complicated as financial instruments and regulatory requirements and other things have happened, so it requires quite a bit of expertise.
Right. Okay, with that, if there's no further questions from council, we will go out and see if there's any public comment on this item. Mr. Seebach, you're in the audience. Do you have any public comment? You don't have to by any stretch. So don't feel pressured to do it. Maybe.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, I'm not sure what you want me to say, but I do support the idea of having you make an appointment of Jerry Rangel. I would recommend that, if that's possible, at the soonest possible date, she would do an excellent job. And it's possible to have the jobs being combined in one person. As you said, all the other cities in our county and many others across the state have that situation. I myself was the appointed city finance director and treasurer in the city of Morro Bay many years ago. So it can work with elected and appointed, or anyway, and whichever the situation may be. So I think that you should explore that with the city attorney, perhaps, if there's needs to be a process of asking for community people to volunteer or anything like that. If not, I would say have Jerry.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Seebach. Okay, let's bring it back. Was there any other members of the public? Does not look like it. Okay, we will bring it back for council discussion and then a motion on this item. I would have a couple of comments myself on this particular issue. You know, as noted earlier, the only legal requirement for an elected city treasurer is to be 18 years old and an elector in the city. Now, some people might find that a little crazy, but that's the fact of the matter. We have, in my estimation, you know, the most qualified person sitting here in the form of our finance director, and we're fortunate she does live in the city, so she is an elector and meets that qualification. It might be a different scenario if she lived outside the city, which could be possible. And for me, you know, I mean, running a special election for a treasurer would be kind of crazy in the first place, but then with the idea of the cost, it would be completely irresponsible. And, you know, I don't feel personally that that it's warranted or that we even should, in this particular case, entertain a process by which we would encourage people to apply when we know we have the gold standard sitting over here in the form of our finance director. It would almost be disingenuous for us to do that. If this was a city council vacancy, I would feel completely different, that we would absolutely have a public process and people applying and interviewing them, and we can easily, not to denigrate our value, but we can easily go without one council member for a period of, you know, 30, 60, 90 days. but we cannot or should not, rather, go without a treasurer. So those are my comments on this particular vacancy. Do we have any other comments, or would somebody like to make a motion? And just double check, though, with the city attorney. There is no problem or issue with us making an appointment this evening, is there?
That's correct. The government code provides you two options. You either appoint or you conduct a special election, but it does not provide any guidelines or standards for the appointment. So it's entirely up to the council as to what procedures it would like to impose upon itself to make that appointment.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments? Councilmember Funk.
I would second the mayor's comments that if this were a council position, we would definitely need to have a public process. But since there are risks to the city, of leaving this particular position open and it requires specialized expertise as opposed to the kind of generalized representative expertise that the rest of us on the dais offer. I would be honored to nominate that we appoint Ms. Jerry Rangel as city treasurer for the remainder of the existing term.
I'll second.
Okay, thank you. We have any further discussion? Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Funk, second by Councilmember Newsom. Can we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Funk?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Councilmember Peake?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Daris?
Yes.
And Mayor Borbo?
Yes, and congratulations, Ms. Rangel, for your additional title.
Can I issue her oath really quickly?
I will add that awesome. We thank you for doing it because there's no extra pay for her, and it actually saves the city about $17,000 a year. So thank you. Go ahead. Do you want to bring her down to the well? Okay. Jerry? Thank you. Okay, it feels like we're getting important things done already. The next item up on here is committee reports, and as we already did kind of closing committee reports earlier in the meeting, at this point in time, I, as the newly elected mayor, will assign council members to standing committees. I'm going to go down the list that the city clerk conveniently provided for me with the current names, and I'm going to read them off, so you'll want to listen closely. Okay, yes. Although I'm sure the clerk will be able to provide an updated copy as long as she can read my handwriting, which is a challenge. Okay, we're going to start off at the top. Air Pollution Control District will remain Mayor Pro Tem DeRiz with myself as the alternate. The Atascadero Basin Groundwater Sustainability Agency will remain Councilmember Funk with myself as the alternate. The CJPIA will remain Mayor Pro Tem Duras, and the alternates are staff members Lewis and Christensen. CAPSLO will remain Mayor Pro Tem Duras, alternate. Well, we didn't have an alternate, but I was wondering if Councilmember Funk would serve as the alternate on that. The City Schools Committee will be Newsom, Councilmember Newsom, and Councilmember Peake. The City Selection Committee will be myself, and there is no alternate on that. The County Mayor's Roundtable will be myself, with the alternate being the Mayor Pro Tem, Mark DeRiz. The Design Review Committee will be Councilmember Funk as the chair and Councilmember Peake. REACH will be Councilmember Funk with an alternate of Newsom. The Finance Committee will be adding Councilmember Peake and will be chaired by Councilmember Newsom. The Homeless Services Oversight Council will be Councilmember Funk with myself as the alternate. The IWMA will be myself with Funk as the alternate. The League of California's City Council Liaison will be Newsom with Funk as the alternate. SLOCOG will be Councilmember Newsom with myself as the alternate, as is the same with RTA, as those are kind of one and the same for meeting purposes. And the Water Resources Advisory Committee will be Councilmember Peake. And Visit SLOCAL Advisory Committee will be Mayor Pro Tem Darrah's with myself as the alternate. And I will provide this to the clerk, so if you didn't write fast enough, she will get everybody a copy, and we will go from there. So look forward to everybody serving on their committees, and I think tried to balance it so that everybody has roughly the same number of committees and a variety of regularly meeting committees and ones that meet less than regularly. So, okay, with that, we're going to move to individual determination and or action. Does any member of the council have anything under individual determination or action? Nope. Okay, the city council is now going to adjourn to closed session. Oh, I'm sorry, the city clerk would like clarification.
No, I just have something under individual determination.
Okay.
I just want to remind council that now that it is a new 2 year, that we will have need new appointments, at-large appointments for both CSTOC and Planning Commission. And so we will start the application process for those. We'll get that all noticed and out, and that I will reach out to get a special meeting with the council to conduct interviews sometime in January. And we can also do that. Each council member, the Planning Commission, all seven terms do expire. Technically December 31st, and they serve until new members. So every council member does have a individual appointment, and then the two at large that you will appoint as a group. So,
thank you very much for the reminder. And Councilmember Peake, yes, you have a planning commissioner you need to find and appoint. Okay, all right, with that then, we will move into closed session, and I will ask the city attorney to announce the closed session item.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The City Council meet in closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision D4, anticipated litigation in one potential case.
Okay. Are there any members of the public wishing to speak on the closed session item before we adjourn into closed session? Okay. Seeing none, we will leave the chambers and begin our closed session, and when we will return out, the City Attorney will report out whether there was any reportable action. Again, thank you all for coming. We appreciate it. And we are adjourned from open session. I don't know if we use this yet. Oh, it works. Okay.